Will you turn, if you please, to Genesis 27? Genesis 37, we begin at verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, could not speak peaceably unto him. Verse 12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. Verse 15. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. The man said, they are departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit. We will say, some evil beast hath devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dream. Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness. Lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Verse 28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchant men. They drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Verse 36. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and captain of the guard. We shall read more about Joseph as we go on now. Let's stop there for a moment. Joseph, a teenager. There are some of you who are just a bit younger than he was. Some are about the same age, and there are others who are older. But at age 17, Joseph had a sense of responsibility. For at age 17, when others might have been engaged in various pastimes of leisure, we find him feeding the flock with his brethren. Joseph was a shepherd. And any shepherd worth his salt has a heart of compassion for the sheep. I am told that there are some shepherds who, even though they might have large flocks, can recognize many of the sheep. They give them names. And they can tell when they're out of sorts. They will immediately notice if one is not in its accustomed place. That's the heart of a shepherd. At age 17, this youngster had the heart of a shepherd. He had a heart of compassion. I wonder how many of us in this place have hearts of compassion, have hearts that care about the sheep, have hearts that are full of love, not only for the Lord, but for His people. How many of us in our teenage years had a heart of compassion for the lost? Those who were on their way to the eternal burning, those who were on their way to the lake of fire. Here at 17, Joseph was feeding the flock. But he was in the company of four of his older brothers, the sons of Bilhah, the sons of Zilpah. And if you go back and you read carefully, you will see that the names of these four, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, these were his older brothers. And as a teenager, Joseph should have been influenced by his older brothers. These were not strangers. These were people with whom he was growing up. People who should have been responsible. People who should have set an example for him to follow. And I trust that here at Bible Camp this week, that you who are teens see those of us who are older, especially camp staff, setting an example for you. An example that you, when you leave here, can emulate. Because we are seeking to follow Christ. We are seeking to display Him. But these four young men were not setting a good example. And we are told that Joseph brought his father their evil report. He was not a tattletale. There was a quality that marked Joseph even at age 17 that I would trust would mark each of us who know the Lord Jesus Savior. Joseph at age 17 refused to be influenced by those older brothers who were setting for him a bad example. Joseph at age 17 was marked by the quality we call separation. For some, that's a bad word. Because in the minds of some, separation means isolation. It means that I think I'm better than you. I'm holier than thou. That's not what separation means. Separation means that I refuse to be associated with anything that I know would be displeasing to God. Are we, young people, and even those of us who are older, marked by separation? Sometimes, you know, we get involved with those who are maybe believers. But as you heard last night, they might not be dwelling on the highest plane. Yes, they've been delivered from their sins. Their sins are forgiven. But they have chosen to stop at halfway house. We are involved with those who are unbelievers. And when the time comes that we must make a decision, and when separation should be practiced, some of us are like ostriches. We bury our heads in the sand and pretend it is not happening. We pretend we haven't heard what was said. And when that passes, oh, then we can join forces again. That is not separation. Some of us don't even bury our heads in the sand. We get sucked into whatever behavior is going on. We get involved with everything that they are doing because it sounds good. It feels good. Joseph, at age 17, refused not only to be influenced by his older brothers who were doing evil, but he came and he told his father. If you are with a group of believers and you see behavior that should not characterize those who bear the name of Christ, do you gently nudge them? And remind them that that is not what brings pleasure to the heart of the Lord Jesus? Do you go home and speak to your father about them? Asking him to bring about a change in their attitude, in their behavior. Do you do that? You don't have, like Joseph, to bring the evil report to your father, your heavenly father. He knows. But do you labor in prayer for those, your friends, who you see walking in a path which you know is displeasing to God? Joseph brought his father the evil report. Jacob, Israel, looked at this young man and he loved him more than all his children. He was the father's delight. And I think of another man who came into this world, and there came an occasion when the heavens were opened. The Holy Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. There was the voice from heaven that declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight." God has many faithful servants down through the centuries.
But at no time could he have looked at any of those servants and say, in him, I find my delight. Because faithful though they might be, they were like us, prone to failure. But as he looked down at the man Christ Jesus, he saw a perfect man, a sinless man, a man who had come to carry out a task which the Father had given him. And he says, in him I have found my delight. Not only was Joseph his father's delight, then why shouldn't he be? As a model citizen at age 17. But he was the recipient of the Father's love. The Father demonstrated this by giving him a coat of many colors. He made it for him. It was a public testimony that this was the son he loved. I hear it say of the Lord Jesus, the Father loveth the Son. But his brothers, you see, looked on. And rather than emulating this teenager's behavior, they hated him. They hated him. Isn't that reminiscent of one who came unto his own, and his own received him not? It could be said profoundly of him, they hated me without cause. They hated him. One day, the Father gives this young man a commission. He says, come, and I will send you unto them. What was Joseph's response? Daddy, I'm involved in something else at the moment. Daddy, I'm watching something on TV. I know they didn't have TV in those days. Daddy, I'm doing something that is very important. Can it wait a minute? Come and I will send you to them. Joseph's response was, here am I. Does that remind you of someone? There was a job to be done. There was only one who was suited for that job. And we hear him saying, here am I. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will. Joseph went. But just in keeping with their character, his brothers who were supposed to be in one place, they told their father, we're going to be in Shechem. Joseph gets there, they're not there. They're contrary. But Joseph is led to them by a man. And he finds them. What is their reaction? Here he comes. The one with all the dreams. You know something? Let's get rid of him. I dare say that they thought that if they got rid of the one who was the father's delight, on whom their father had lavished his love, that it might move them up, you know? There are people in the world today who have
no regard, no love for believers unless those believers don't have a testimony. Let me say to you, young people, that if you are involved with a group of people who do not know the Lord Jesus and they love you, something is wrong. You better examine yourself. If they have no love for your Lord, your Savior, and you are reflecting Him, they are not going to have any love for you. So if they have their arms around you, smiling, always want you to be in their company, you better have them. They want to kill you, but their oldest brother intervenes. And so they decided on another method. We can kill him, but we want to get rid of him. Let's get rid of him. Let's get him out of our sight and out of our father's sight. And so they see this band of Midianites, merchant men. And they said, okay, we have something to sell. You hear about human trafficking today? It began here. And they sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. And these merchant men brought Joseph into Egypt. Joseph is away from home in a strange land. And who did they sell him to? They sell him, the Midianites sell him to Potiphar. He's the warden of the prison, the captain of the guard. He is the commander in chief. I have no doubt a very disciplined man. But we find, if we read on, that Joseph's deportment, now remember, he is still a teen. He is ripped away from his father's home, away from the person who loves him. He's in a strange land. He's in a worldly environment, we could say. Strange people, strange customs, no doubt a strange language. But Joseph's deportment is such that he finds favor with this man. And as a soldier, as the commander-in-chief, this man had to be disciplined. But Joseph's life makes an impression on him. You know what made the difference? The one who was marked by separation, we are told, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Why? Because he was not involved in those things which displeased God. Not only are we told the Lord was with him, but this man, Potiphar, saw evidences that there was someone greater than Joseph with him. What a testimony he bore in that man, in a worldly environment. He stood out. He was marked. And here is a teenager who comes into a strange environment, away from home,
And this man says, you know something? This is such a remarkable young man that I am going to make him overseer over everything I have. You want to tell me that there weren't Egyptians there, much older than he, who could have been given that job? But you see, Joseph's testimony was not just when he was at home. Is your testimony only shining when you come to Bible camp? Joseph's testimony was such that even though he was away from home, a strange man could look at him and say, you know something? God is with him. I am going to promote him over him.
And you know, I don't think that any of those Egyptians here complain. Because I have no doubt that this man was stern.
When he gave an order, he expected it to be carried out.
So we find Joseph. But in Potiphar's house, there was a temptress. Brother David mentioned in passing this morning the idea that God would keep some of you young men from straying women. Well, Joseph was in a house with a strange woman. And when I say strange, I don't mean a demented woman, somebody who was mad. I'm talking about those the Bible characterizes as strange women. Those who have bad habits. Those who seek to lure young men. Read the Proverbs and you'll see some described here. And this woman did all she could to tempt this young man. You know, sometimes I wonder physically what Joseph looked like. Joseph must have been a handsome young man. Well built. Something that would catch the eye of this woman. Married to the commander-in-chief of the army, but still with eyes for Joseph. Would anyone have known if Joseph had yielded? He was away from home, a strange land.
And we are told that she was persistent. She didn't come to him once and make a suggestion. The scripture tells that she kept after him day after day. There was temptation waiting to be grasped.
And one day, when it seemed as if words were not enough,
she took action. She was going to force him. She was going to force her attention on him.
And one day when he was there alone in the house with her, she grabbed hold. What did Joseph do? Did he say, "Can I do?" I could just go forget this.
Please, sir.
Maybe she'll leave me alone. Oh, yeah. If any of you think that when temptation comes, just doing it once, just yielding once, we'll get it over with, think again. Joseph said, this is the time for me to make my escape. So when she grabbed hold of the garment, he slipped out of it and took off. Oh, that some of us, when temptation comes,
would slip out of one of the arms of the head and say, oh, find a way of escape.
Sometimes, you know, temptation comes because we put ourselves in the way.
Joseph didn't put himself in the way. But when temptation came, he said, I've got to run. Let me put as much distance between me and temptation as I can.
There is a saying that says, hell hath no fury like a woman's storm. And this woman decided that she was going to make Joseph pay for ignoring her.
So she had her story ready when her husband came home.
And I don't know, the Bible does not say this. But I once heard a preacher say, you know something? Potiphar should have known his wife.
And no doubt, he knew in his heart that Joseph was not guilty of what she said, but he had to save face. She was making it public.
So what does he do? He delivers Joseph. You say no trial? Those things didn't require trial.
In some countries of the world now, there are people in prison who didn't have a trial. They're just charged with a crime and put into prison.
So don't think it's unlikely. It's happening today.
Now, what should Joseph's attitude have been? If that were me, I would begin to develop some bitterness. Look, I was in my father's house. I was a model young man. I did everything that pleased my father. First, I got sold. And there's one word that is missing from this. It begins with a C. One thing that Joseph didn't do. What was that?
I hear some of you whispering it. Come on.
He didn't complain. Let me tell you. For me to be snatched away from my father's house and sold and taken to a strange land, I would have been right. They would have known. They would have heard it from me.
Not so with you.
And I believe that Joseph accepted the fact that God had a plan for his life. And he was waiting for God to bring it to fruition. But now he's in a prison. He's in a jail. He hasn't done anything wrong. Should he not have become bitter? Should he not have said, oh God, what have you done? You deserted me. But if we read, we will see that Joseph in the prison was Joseph who was in his father's house. His character did not change. So much so that the warden recognized that this was an outstanding young man. And he said, here, you might understand.
Joseph in prison. But he was living a victorious Christian life, even under those circumstances. Some of us are free of purpose, but we cannot achieve victory in our Christian lives.
Why is it?
Because we have not practiced, we have not walked in the path of separation. If we are walking in the path of separation, then we don't complain about circumstances that come into our lives because we know that God has a hand in those circumstances and He wants only the best for us. And then we can truly enjoy the truth of Romans 8:28. All things work together. after that. Joseph separated them,
even in prison,
was living a victorious Christian life. There in prison, he met two men. And one night, they had some bad dreams. And they were very concerned. Joseph noticed immediately, you see the shepherd's heart again, the heart of compassion? He looked at these two men, and he immediately realizes something is wrong. So he inquires of them. And they tell him their dreams. And Joseph interprets those dreams.
But he does it without fear of the consequences. Because one dream came to a successful conclusion. The other dream, he had to tell the man, you are going to have your head taken off. Wasn't pleasant, but it wasn't true. How many times have we faced, even with a fellow believer, we know something is wrong, but we are afraid to give them the bad news? That is not being faithful. Joseph was a faithful young man. Though the news he had to deliver was bad, he gave it nevertheless. And he urged them to remember him when these things came to pass. Soon the dream came true. The baker was beheaded. The butler was restored to his position. But he forgot him. But there was one who did not forget. Sometimes we feel as if we have been forgotten. Sometimes we feel as if no one cares about us. We sometimes feel that in all of our sorrow, in all of the problems that we're having, no one cares for us. Feel like Paul did, no one cares for me. But there's one who does not forget. And Joseph might have been forgotten by the chief butler, but he was not forgotten by God. And eventually, God caused Pharaoh to have a dream. Pharaoh could not figure out what this dream was about, but he was troubled about it. He had to have an answer. And it was then that the chief butler remembered a man who had told him and his companion the interpretation of their dreams, and it had worked out exactly as he told it. And so Joseph was taken out of prison and brought to Pharaoh. And he was able to tell Pharaoh what was going to happen to that land over a period of time. The one who walked in the path of separation refused to be associated with evil. The one who told his father what evil was going on. The one who was thrown into a pit and then sold. The one who was taken into a strange land. The one who faced temptation and overcame it. The one who was thrown into prison for no fault of his own. Now was taken from the prison and brought into the palace. Joseph might not have known what his end would be,
But there was one thing he knew, that there was a God who had things in control and had a plan. Beloved young person, let me say to you today, feeling it, that God has a plan for your life. But he requires that you, like Joseph, might have a sense of a responsibility, even at a young age. That you might walk the path of separation, refusing to be associated with evil, even when it comes from a fellow believer. And no matter what the circumstances are that come into your life, remember that there is one who does not ever forget you. But he wants you to be responsive to him. The only way that you can respond to him is if you hear his voice. The only way you can hear his voice is when you take this book and you read his book. You meditate on him. He, through the Holy Spirit, will speak to you. And you will have the comfort of knowing that though you may be alone in relation to human company, you are never alone because there is one who walks with you. Friends may desert you because they think you are weird, they think you are strange, they think you are no longer fun, but God will never change. All that there might be Joseph in this place today, and that God might be glorified in the life from you.